The headlines. People take to the streets in the Iranian capital to denounce the recent riots that have erupted in a number of cities over the past week. Tehran summons the British ambassador to protest the role of London-based Persian-language media outlets in inciting riots across the country. And voting is underway for a third day in four Ukrainian regions in referendums on joining Russia. Thanks for joining us. Iranians are out on the streets across the country to denounce the latest riots that have erupted in a number of cities over the past week. Crowds of protesters are rallying to denounce the desecration of sanctities as well as acts of vandalism during the riots. The rioters have blocked the streets, vandalizing public property and police vehicles, setting fire to dozens of ambulances. That followed the death of a 22-year-old woman earlier this month after she was taken into a police station. The Tehran police commander, Hossein Rahimi, has rejected claims that Mahsa Amini was physically assaulted. Officials say that she died of medical conditions. Iran summoning the British and Norwegian ambassadors in connection with the recent riots in the country. The Foreign Ministry says it called in the British ambassador to protest the hostile propaganda of London-based Persian-language media against the Islamic Republic. The ministry lodged Tehran's strong protest with the UK government, saying the media Britain is hosting has been provoking riots in Iran over the past days. The ambassador was told that such measures represent an interference in Iran's domestic as well as acts against its national sovereignty. The Norwegian ambassador was also summoned over what the foreign ministry said were meddlesome, false, and partial comments by the country's parliament speaker. The foreign ministry protested to Oslo about such unconstructive remarks and interference in Iran's domestic issues. In staying with Iran, Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has also slammed the U.S. for supporting the recent riots in their country. Abdollahian was speaking in a meeting with his Iraqi counterpart in New York on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. The top Iranian diplomat slammed Washington's provocative and interventionist measures. He said the U.S. also supports those exploiting the emotions of the Iranian people to destabilize the country. Amir Abdollahian said that this policy is in clear contradiction to the U.S.'s repeated messages to Iran about the necessity of reaching an agreement on the JCPOA revival and creating stability and security in the region. The foreign minister, however, supported peaceful protests in Iran, saying that this is the right of every nation. Political analyst Sam Mehdi Torabi explains how foreign-based groups, the U.S. and Israel, have a way of derailing Iranians' legitimate protests and demands.
The thing I think that's important for us to understand is the bigger picture, understand the mechanism of how these events always seem to play out in Iran. This is not the first time that we've had a situation like this where that an event happens, an incident happens, people have a legitimate right and a legal right to protest, and they protest, but then this is hijacked by groups outside of Iran and by their supporters, the U.S. and Israel, to create, destabilization and problems within the country. So this is actually the tragedy of the story, which is that, like any other country, there might be issues that the Iranians want to, you know, resolve within themselves, within the internal political scene or the social situation that exists in Iran. But every time these issues are hijacked and they are turned into riots, where people are killed, innocent people are killed, where, you know, there's property damage, vandalism, as you were mentioning. And so we never end up, having a chance to really deal with these issues in a manner that would be appropriate for the situation.
Tensions continue to simmer in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, where regime forces killed another Palestinian earlier on Sunday. Three Palestinians were also injured during clashes that took place after Israeli forces stormed the city of Nablus early this morning. Israel frequently launches raids to intimidate and arrest Palestinians. Reacting to the latest incursion, Hamas has hailed Palestinian resistance. The movement says that the clashes show that the Palestinians' power and their readiness to enter into conflict to defend Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israeli forces have killed around 100 Palestinians in the West Bank this year alone, making it the deadliest year since 2015. On Saturday, they killed a Palestinian, claiming that he attempted a ramming attack, an accusation Palestinians deny. From Ramallah, our correspondent Mona Kandil joined us earlier with more details on Hamas' reaction to the latest Israeli aggression against Palestinians.
The Palestinian resistance movement issued a statement saying that Palestinians will continue to be engaged in the different forms of resistance and struggle, and that it's the normal response to the ongoing Israeli crimes here in the occupied West Bank, Israeli settlers' raids to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the least to do is to defend the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Al-Quds, and the whole Palestinian occupied territories. And as a natural response would be different forms of resistance, fighting the Israeli soldiers. And the more Palestinian martyrs would be killed by the Israeli forces, this would even strengthen the Palestinians while they are united in the face of the Israeli forces, the Israeli regime, and their atrocities.
The UK Prime Minister is considering a controversial move to relocate Britain's embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds. The announcement has already angered Palestinians who have long hailed Al-Quds as the capital of the future state. Liz Truss, of course, has made no bones about her pro-Israel stance. But why she's putting this potential move at the top of her list is questionable, given that the UK is grappling with so many economic problems at this point in time.
Indications are coming from the UK Prime Minister Liz Truss, who is considering to break with decades-old tradition and move the UK embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds. This move has been strongly criticized by not only Palestinians, but the UN. A number of special rapporteurs have said relocating the British embassy to Al-Quds would break with international law and UN resolutions and reverse decades of British policy.
The capital of Israel. Thank you.
The potential move of the embassy to Al-Quds follows the footsteps of the former U.S. President Donald Trump.
President Trump, by recognizing history, you have made history.
It also led to Palestinians' fierce condemnation, leading to protests and clashes in which Israeli forces killed dozens of Palestinians. Even the former UK Prime Minister Theresa May criticized the move at the time. Special Rapporteur focused on Palestine has said, two or more wrongs do not make a right. Acts altering character, status, the demography of Al-Quds have no legal effects and are null and void and must be rescinded. But why would the UK Prime Minister consider such a move when the UK is grappling with a series of crises which are more important for a new Prime Minister, like a cost of living crisis that has gripped the UK, getting worse by the day? Liz Truss has not hidden the fact of her pro-Israeli stance. She has said that under my leadership, Israel will have no stauncher friend in the world. That's what I've done as Foreign Secretary and Trade Secretary. I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. She also said that she would further solidify her ties with Israel by signing a free trade deal with Israel. This is interesting since she has rejected that notion with the U.S. at this point in time. Liz Truss has admitted that the U.K. will not strike a post-Brexit free trade deal with the U.S. for a number of years.
The relocation of embassies from Tel Aviv began with the former U.S. President Donald Trump. Other countries have followed in Washington's footsteps, such as Honduras, Australia, the Czech Republic, Serbia, and Slovakia. Yet this move does nothing to solve the Palestinian issue. One reason that's been cited for the embassy relocations has been the so-called normalization of ties between some Arab countries and Israel, another precedent set by Trump.
The controversial consideration by the UK Prime Minister to move UK's embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds may have been put in overdrive when Truss made this promise to Israel during her campaign to become Prime Minister. During the Tory leadership contest, she addressed this to an influential lobby group called the Conservative Friends of Israel. But who is the Conservative Friends of Israel? It is a British parliamentary group affiliated to the Conservative Party. It's dedicated to strengthening business and political ties between the UK and Israel, as well as between the British Conservative Party and the Israeli Likud Party. At one point, for example, it was accused of bankrolling the Tories, where 50% of MPs in the shadow cabinet are Conservative Friends of Israel members. Back in 2017, secret tapes exposed the amount of Israeli influence over the UK Conservative Party. Israeli embassy linked political operators discussed taking down Foreign Minister Alan Duncan, boasting of planting parliamentary Russians.
Eliphaz, Labour Friends of Israel, they're trying, they want to stop Sharon, Young,
This expose revealed how the senior political officer at the Israeli embassy in London discussed a potential plot to take down British politicians, including a minister of state at the Foreign Office who supported Palestinian civil rights. Desmond Sway, a former Conservative minister and parliamentary aide to former Prime Minister David Cameron, described it best when he said at the time that what we cannot have is Israel acting in the UK with the same impunity that it enjoys in Palestine. Clearly, an interference in another country's politics of the murkiest and most discreditable kind. It is no secret that Israel uses its lobby power in the U.S. to have Washington make decisions in its favor, especially the powerful lobby group AIPAC. This covers things like supporting Israel at the UN, approving arms sales in the billions of dollars, to pro-Israel stance when it comes to issues like illegal settlements. Now Israel has a pro-hawkish prime minister in Downing Street that it can count on. And for as long as she is in office, Israel is making sure that she will act on Israel's behalf. It is not that far off to conclude that Truss has promised favors for Israel when it comes to the issue of doing business in exchange for Israeli investment, so that together we can create well-paid, high-value jobs in both countries, as stated by the International Trade Secretary Anne-Marie Trevelyan. Her new tax cuts, described as trickle-down economics, was reported to disproportionately benefit the rich and make her unpopular. This may, by default, involve Israeli businesses who would warmly receive her plans to slash taxes despite the economic crisis.
Four Ukrainian regions are voting for the third day in referendums on joining Russia. The Luhansk and Donetsk self-proclaimed republics in the east, as well as the partly Russian-controlled southern regions of Kherson and Zaporizhia, are holding the referendums. The voting will end on Tuesday. Russia says the regions will be under Moscow's full protection if they vote to join Russia. Russian media reports say the country's parliament can move to formalize the regions joining Russia within days. But the vote has drawn condemnation from Ukraine and the West. They have dismissed the votes as a sham, pledging not to recognize the results. The U.S. has threatened Moscow with swift and severe economic costs over what it calls Moscow's plan to annex those regions. Moscow says that it is up to the residents of the four regions to decide if they want to be a part of Russia. As the war in Ukraine drags on into its eighth month, Moscow accuses Kiev of continuing missile strikes around the Zaporizhia nuclear plant.
The Kiev regime continues its provocations near Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Once again, Ukrainian artillery shelled residential areas of Enerhodar and the territory next to the nuclear power plant.
The spokesman added that Russian forces have intercepted all the missiles, as well as eight kamikaze drones outside of the territory of the power plant. He said radiation levels remain normal at the plant located in southern Ukraine. Over the past months, Russia and Ukraine have been trading blame over the shelling of Europe's biggest nuclear power station. The plant has been under Russian control since March. Moscow has warned that the strikes threaten a nuclear catastrophe that could consume all of Europe. Italians are casting their ballots in early elections for the lower house and the Senate. The elections are forecast to return Italy's most right-wing government since World War II and usher in its first woman prime minister. A right-wing alliance led by Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy party appeared on course for a clear victory when the last opinion polls were published 2 weeks ago. However, there's been speculation that support for the left-leaning Five Star Movement has also picked up in recent days. That could jeopardize the rightist alliance's chances of winning a majority in the Senate. But whatever the result, Meloni would be the obvious candidate for premier as the leader of the right-wing alliance. The early elections were triggered by party infighting that brought down Prime Minister Mario Draghi's National Unity government in July. And that does it for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listener's Special on this Sunday, September 25th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. And accept our condolences to you on the passing away anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as well as the martyrdom anniversary of the second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him. This is another edition of Listener's Special, and as you know, Listener's Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Olof Rotavara from Finland, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. And we have also received so many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails or letters, including Anwar Iqbal from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Marta from India has sent us an email. We've received an email from Australia from David Foster, and from Finland, we have an email from David Mabi. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received an email from Bangladesh from Anwar Iqbal. Anwar Iqbal says, "Dear staff, with due respect, we would like to say that we, the club members of World Radio Listeners Club, want to listen your radio program regularly. We also want to know more about your country. Please send us your frequency and program schedule with timetable. Also send us your books, magazines, poster, and other promotional materials if possible." Salam and warm greetings to you, Anwar Iqbal, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Unfortunately, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is halted due to the global pandemic. So you should refer to our website in order to find the frequency schedule. With this address, www.parstoday.com/en. And to know more about Iran, you can listen to our programs. You can follow our programs, which introduce Iran in details. Thank you again for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as verification. And Marta from India has sent us an email. He or she says, "I am a listener of your radio service. I enjoy listening to news, world reports, traditional music, culture, and your mailbox program. At some time, your frequency is very poor. Please change your signal." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially from IRIB English Radio staff to you, Marta from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email, and sorry for the trouble you had regarding the frequency. As you said, the frequency was poor, but we will fix it very soon if the trouble is on our behalf. Thank you again. Please accept our electronic QSL card as a verification. Wish you the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And from Australia, from Southern Hemisphere, we've received an email from David Foster. David Foster says, greetings from Australia. I was very pleased to hear the IRIB English radio few days ago. I would be most grateful if you could verify that this report is correct with your verification QSL card or an electronic QSL card. Can you mention on the card that it was an IRIB program with details? Thank you for your time and looking forward to hearing from you. Best wishes from Australia. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially from IRIB English radio staff. Please accept our gratitudes to you for sending us this email. So it's also an honor to have you as a listener, David Foster from Australia. Again, thank you and accept our electronic QSL card, of course, with the details as a verification. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon, David. Wish you all the best. And let's see. Yes. Here we have another email from Finland, from David Moby. Let's see what David says. Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, a couple of months ago, I sent you a reception report, which you kindly read in your listeners' special program. Since they have listened to your evening broadcast starting at 19:20 from time to time, I thought you might like to get another reception report from me containing some good news. I listened to you and the sound quality was much improved. The modulation level sound loudness was about 25% to 30%, which made audibility easier. I always enjoy listening to you and getting directly the Islamic Republic of Iran's view on world events. This is most useful. Thank you very much. Listeners Special is always enjoyable. And thanks again for mentioning my earlier report. I would definitely appreciate a program about the basic concept of Islam. So many people here in the West have absolutely little idea of what Islam really is. Perhaps you have such a broadcast. Please advise me. Greater understanding would definitely further the cause of world peace, in my view. I hope this email finds you in good health. I would really appreciate you for sending me an electronic QSL. In the meantime, I listen to you when I can and enjoy your broadcast very much. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and from IRIB English Radio staff to you, David Mabi from Finland. And please accept our warm and deep appreciations to you for sending us such detailed, email. You described the quality of the programs, the quality of the sound, and it was great. Your email really made my day. It was great. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and the programs, and especially many thanks. Please accept our particular thanks for letting us know your opinion about the programs. As you said, you want more programs on Islam and the real Islam, which is tarnished in the Western world. So please accept our appreciations to you. Write to us soon and tell us your views, more views about IRIB English radio programs. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as verification. David Mabi from Finland, wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So, dear listeners, here we come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. But before that, please accept our condolences to you on the passing away anniversary of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as well as the martyrdom anniversary of the second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and Listeners, a special program. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the member you are listening to. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
My condolences to the brothers and sisters, the Imam of our time, on the wafat, the passing, the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And of course, tonight, inshallah, I want to speak a little bit about the Holy Prophet. Who is the one that knows him the best? None other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ali, right, when he talks about the courage of the Prophet, that means a lot. Why? Because we all know Imam Ali, right? So the courage of Imam Ali is really outstanding. And so if he's going to speak about someone else's courage, that's going to be big. If he sounds like he doesn't have as much courage as that person, then let's see who that person is. What are you talking about, Shaykh? It says, إذا حمر البأس. He says, whenever the going would get tough. Now, إحمر in Arabic means to become red hot. All right? إذا حمر البأس, اتقينا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We would seek refuge in the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. How dare you say Ali is like this or like that? Well, go talk to Nahj al-Balagha. Don't talk to me. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَّا أَقْرَبُ إِلَى الْعَدُوِّ مِنْهُ. Wow. There was no one closer to the enemy than him. SubhanAllah. Had we ever seen it? We always thought that the Prophet was, you know, delicate and sensitive and all of that. No, no, no. Let's see how Imam Ali paints the picture of the Holy Prophet. Or another one in his letter to Muawiyah. I think this is letter number 9 of Imam to Muawiyah in Nahj al-Balagha. He says, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِذَا حْمَرَّ الْبَأْسِ وَأَحْجَمَ النَّاسِ قَدَّمَ أَهْلَ بَيْتِهِ. This is how selfless the Prophet was. And when the going would get tough, the Prophet would send his own to protect his Sahaba and his companions. Wow. Which king does such a thing? No, everyone has to be sacrificed for the king. This was no king though. You know, Abu Sufyan, they say, when the Prophet was marching in with his army into Mecca and the conquest of Mecca, he told Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, he told him, wow, look at the kingdom of your nephew. لَقَدْ أَصْبَحَ مُلْكُ بْنِ أَخِيكَ عَظِيمًا. The mulk and kingdom of your nephew? Wow, look at it, how big it is. In other words, I was trying to be like this. I couldn't. Look what he got, though. And he says, Wayhak, what's wrong with you? Abbas tells him, the uncle of the Prophet. He says, Innaha an nubuwa. No, this is prophethood. This is the power of prophethood. It's not being king. Anyway, kings don't do it like this. فَوَقَى بِهِمْ أَصْحَابَ حَرَّ السُّيُوفِ. Which relatives would he send forward? He starts listing them. فَقُتِلَ عُبَيْدَ بِنْ الْحَارِثِ يَوْمَ بَدْرِ قُتِلَ حَمْزَ يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ قُتِلَ جَعْفَرْ يَوْمَ مُؤْتَةٍ. These were the family members of the Prophet, the relatives of the Prophet. They died one after another, they fell. Why? Because the Prophet, in the middle of that battle, he makes sure that there is no discretion here. No, my relative is no difference. They go. But it's very interesting how this one line here, it really gets to me. I really don't know what to make of it. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm misunderstanding this line. Ittaqayna bi Rasulillah might mean that we would go and protect the Prophet because he was all the way in the front. But the way I've heard scholars interpret and explain this line is that ittaqayna bi Rasulillah means we would seek refuge in the Prophet. In other words, like when we're next to the Prophet is fighting so valiantly, we're not worried too much. Now here, Amir al-Mu'minin, of course, we know he's never worried, but he's making a point to the likes of Muawiyah. In Sahifa Sajjadiyya, look at how Imam Sajjad speaks of the Holy Prophet. This one I love as well. I don't have time to get into it too much. I don't want to take too much of your time on a weeknight like this, which I thank all of you for showing up for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for honoring his memory. It says, this is dua number two. Imam Sajjad says, وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ الَّذِي مَنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ دُونَ الْأُمَمِ الْمَاضِيَةِ. First of all, he takes the Prophet, he mentions him by name. Okay? Which shows that this package, this is my take on it, this package right here, that we're going to put the name of Muhammad on him. He's a prophet, he's this, he's that, he's a father, he's this, he's that. Everything about him. Summed up in Muhammad. When you say Rasulullah, okay, the messenger of Allah, okay, you're looking at him from one angle. When you say Muhammad, it means everything, his personal life, everything about him, this package. All praise is due to Allah, the one who favored us with Muhammad over other previous nations. They didn't have this luxury, but they had Musa, they had Isa, true. But did they have Muhammad? No. That's how he talks about him. And he goes on, of course. بِقُدْرَتِهِ الَّتِي لَا تَعْجِزُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ وَإِنْ عَظُمٍ. With his power. Allah, you favored us with Muhammad through your power. In other words, this is not a normal thing that anyone can pull off. It takes power to make something like this. SubhanAllah. And then one of our youth comes to me and tells me, not youth anymore, he's like close to 30 now. He's like, Mulana, I'm afraid that I'm going to grow older. I'm going to have kids. I'm not going to be able to tell my kids anything about the Holy Prophet. Yeah. All I know is about Imam Hussein the first 10 days, which is wonderful, by the way. That is the trigger for us to push us towards all the other ma'arif. I tell people this all the time. We spend 2 months and 8 days. Alhamdulillah. Taqabbalallah. Give me 2 months and 8 days throughout the rest of the 10 months of the year to learn about the other aspects of Islam as well. These 2 months really are going to, inshallah, propel us, give us that motivation to learn about the Holy Prophet, about other teachings of Islam throughout the year, inshallah. Yes? It says that بِقُدْرَتِهِ, through his power, he was able to do this. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. On this night of the wafat of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, I want to say that the Prophet's demise is when the Muslim Ummah was orphaned. On a night like this, on a day that the Prophet passes away, everyone is upset. There is not one person of the true Muslims that might be happy on such a day. And we even have hadiths that say the greatest tragedy was the death of the Holy Prophet. But I want to talk about one individual out of this entire Ummah that is probably the saddest of them all. She was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God knows what is going through the heart of Lady Fatima alayhi salam. She lost her mother when she was a young child. All she had was her father. and her relationship with her father had become so great over the years that her father called her his mother. So what happens when a mother loses her child? You tell me. They say that when he would pass through the streets, they would throw animal intestines on him. Who is the one to clean the prophet? To help him like a mother? To care for him? When someone suffers and you're the one who takes care for the child or for whoever it is that's suffering, brothers and sisters, you fall in love with that person more and more. That's why the musibah of the likes of Qasim ibn al-Hasan is so great for Imam Hussein, because he's taking care of someone who is very fragile over those 10 years of being an orphan. The Holy Prophet is being taken care of by Lady Fatima, Umm Abiha. You know what Umm Abiha means? It means Fatima loves her father to death. That's what it means. She died to keep him alive, just like any other mother would do for her child. But let's fast forward to the last moments of the Holy Prophet, brothers and sisters. He's going through pain, they say. And every time he undergoes pain, this mother of her father, they say, she would say, Ya wa kurbata, wa kurba, wa ya likurbika ya abata, likarbika ya abata. That, oh, the suffering, because of the suffering that you're going through, oh father. Every time they say he would go through pain, she's going through pain. They say she stayed next to her father that last night looking at his face. In Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali says that his head was on my chest. Some say that he took the hand of Ali, took the hand of Fatima, put this hand in that hand, and he said, this is my wadi'ah, this is my amana to you, oh Ali. Take care of this flower of mine. But later on, Ali says, لَقَدْ اسْتُرْجَعَتِ الْوَدِيعَةِ, I am now burying this wadi'ah and amana that you left with me. Ask her, I can't tell you what happened after you, oh Rasulullah. The passing of Rasulullah is so hard for Bibi Fatima.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali Hali Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud Qayyum Ra'uf Sabur Majeed. صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
The Western world claims to practice freedom of expression, while it is proved that this motto is just a lie. When it comes to Palestinians and the issue of resistance, freedom of expression is widely restricted. This is evidently seen today by the actions of Facebook and Instagram in violating the rights of Palestinians during the Gaza war.
In this regard, we have taken a look at the World Media for further details. This is the first part. The website of Middle East Eye wrote, Facebook and Instagram's policies during Israeli regime attacks on Gaza last year harmed the fundamental human rights of Palestinians, according to a report commissioned by the platform's parent company, Meta. The study, which was carried out by Consultancy Business for Social Responsibility, BSR, was obtained by The Intercept ahead of its publication recently. In May 2021, Meta was widely accused of censorship and bias during Israeli regime's assault on Gaza, which killed 256 Palestinians, including 66 children. Meta's actions in May 2021 appear to have had an adverse human rights impact on the rights of Palestinian users to freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, political participation, and non-discrimination, and therefore on the ability of Palestinians to share information and insights about their experiences as they occurred, the report said. Middle East Eye reported last year that concerns had been raised about deleted social media content and account suspensions in relation to Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied East Al-Quds, where an Israeli crackdown on protests against forcible evictions sparked escalation in violence. According to the report, Meta deleted Arabic content related to last year's violence at a much greater rate than Hebrew language posts. This was found among posts reviewed by both automated services and employees. BSR attributed the difference in treatment to a lack of expertise. It concluded that Meta lacked staff who understood other cultures, languages, and histories, despite having over 70,000 employees and $24 billion in cash reserves. Potentially violating Arabic content may not have been routed to content reviewers who speak or understand the specific dialect of the content, the reporter stated. During the outbreak of violence, Palestinian and Arab social media users revived an old Arabic font in an attempt to beat Facebook's algorithm and express their support for Palestine. The BSR report fell short of accusing Meta of deliberate bias, pointing instead to unintentional bias leading to different human rights impacts on Palestinian and Arab-speaking users. It found that Meta's dangerous individuals and organizations policy referred to in the report as DOI, which prevents its users from praising or representing a number of groups, focused mainly on Muslim entities and therefore disproportionately impacted Palestinians. It said, Meta's DOI policy and the list are more likely to impact Palestinian and Arabic-speaking users, both based upon Meta's interpretation of legal obligations. Palestinians are more likely to violate Meta's DOI policy because of the presence of Hamas as a governing entity in Gaza and political candidates affiliated with designated organizations, the report said. The study concluded with 21 non-binding recommendations, which included increasing staff capacity to analyze Arabic posts and reforming the dangerous individuals and organizations policy. Mehta vaguely committed to implementing 20 of the recommendations, according to Intercept. The company did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Its response to the report will be included when the document is published in full. In a footnote to the response seen by The Intercept, it said Meta's publication of this response should not be construed as an admission, agreement with, or acceptance of any of the findings, conclusions, opinions, or viewpoints identified by BSR, nor should the implementation of any suggested reforms be taken as admission of wrongdoing.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Basing country issues on others is wrong. Pay attention to the domestic capacities. This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the president and members of the cabinet in Imam Khomeini's Husseiniyyah on August 30th, 2022. My third recommendation is the issue of being present among the people. Don't stop doing this. Some people might dramatize it and put labels on it, but I'm not going to repeat these now. Don't get caught up in these things. You may need to figure out how you can use people's thoughts and opinions in different sectors. This needs planning. In many letters that I received in communicating with people, and that such, sometimes I see some suggestions that are very good. A person whom we may not know can sometimes suggest or give their opinion on something. This can be very beneficial at times. Consider how we can make use of these.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
My next recommendation is to keep your promises. Consider this to be an obligation, like your daily prayers. If there's something that you're not sure you can do, don't promise that you will do it. Only make promises that you are certain you can keep, and make sure you fulfill them. In the same way that being among the people and working for them creates hope and trust, not fulfilling your promises does the exact opposite. It causes people to lose hope and even become doubtful about the things that you've accomplished in other fields. This happens when you tell people, we'll do this and that in the city or in this area, but later you may realize you cannot fulfill this promise and you fail to do it. Sometimes certain situations may unexpectedly arise and that prevents you from keeping your promises. In these cases, explain the situation to the people so they can understand. Nonetheless, don't make promises thinking we'll explain to the people whenever we can't keep our promises. This is not your goal. Your goal is to keep your promises, to fulfill them, and to make sure they come about.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.